There is value in a lot of things, especially for the Christian. And there is a great deal of value in a good example, or being a good example. And my lesson this morning is very simple. It's about our becoming a good example in the body of Christ. Not just be an example, because, you know, we have lots of examples. We hear the term thrown about quite a bit about people being good role models for our children when they really have no desire to go to heaven when this life is over. But we're talking about people who have a desire to go to heaven and the need for them to be a good example. I'm going to have to start by asking just a few questions and do this in the second person, even though you know it applies to me as well. Are you a good example for others to follow? How valuable are you? You really place your score between 1 and 100, for example. How valuable do you think you are? Do you have any more value now than, say, you did a year ago at this time? Do you have any more value than you did when you obeyed the gospel? Do you expect to be more valuable in the days and weeks and years to come? Do you expect to be more valuable tomorrow, even than you are today? And, you know, do you ever think about it? As we ponder our relationship with God and responsibilities and duties and things that we have to do, do we ever think about growing in our example? And that being a good example, not just an example. Is becoming a good example for others, even on your agenda as you plan your service to God? Well, there is value in being a good example. We know that. Let's examine some of these terms in light of what Christians should think about. Value. It's a good word. There is value in many, many things. The dictionary simply defines the word as relative worth, or having merit, or importance. It can be applied to many things, and you know, you see people talk about things all the time. Well, they're good people, or that's a good thing, or that's good activity, or that's good food, or whatever. Even applying the word good to those things which are totally and completely sinful for people to engage in. The word can be what's called intrinsic or extrinsic. It can be something that has value in itself, undeniable, or it can be something where value has been applied. You take a rock, you call it a diamond or a crystal, and all of a sudden you've placed value on it when maybe it has not whatsoever. We add value to things like our money. Money is just the value we put on it. A government decides this is worth so much, and this little piece of paper becomes very valuable. Antiques, keepsakes, friendships. We apply the value to many things, and that's what's called extrinsic. But a lot of these values can be very vague in our lives. They're changing. They've changed over the years. They've changed over the years in our minds. They become relative to whatever we need. Loaf of bread, it doesn't have much value. But when we haven't had any food for a week or a month, it becomes extremely valuable. I remember a a novel written about a man stealing a loaf of bread. And the impact that the entire thing had on his life. Different times, different circumstances, different parts of the country, or different parts of the world. Confusion. We go some places, we see that place value on certain things that we would not consider value at all. Social situations, economic changes, conditions. But we know when we talk about value for a Christian and things involving the Christian, we're talking about something that's not that which the world considers valuable. We're talking about spiritual value. We have a value in spiritual things that wasn't put there by us. It is intrinsic. Nature. God placed value on and in certain things, and they become, or they are valuable just because of God doing them. Value created by God. If you think back on this lesson, the value of a good example, and we're going to see later as point that out again, that this is not value that we have placed on ourselves by becoming valuable, but this is the value that God has placed in creating. Value that God places on things is very confusing to many people. It becomes a paradox, even for the Christian sometimes. The casual reader of the Bible can't understand some of the value that God has placed on things. Consider some of these verses, Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life shall lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Acts 20:35. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's hard for people to understand. Matthew 20:26. Whoever desires to be great among you, let him become your servant. Whosoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. And even though we read that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, we're told in John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If one loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Seems to be a confusing presentation of just where our priorities ought to be. God wants them in one place. We are confused because we tend to go in the other direction. Matthew 13:44 again. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, as we study our Bibles, we see that recognizing and having spiritual value is not just abandoning value altogether, but shifting our values to things that are eternal, as opposed to those things that we call temporal. what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss of Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ my Lord. He had value in many things. He recognized value in many things, even religious things. But then now he has realized they have no value whatsoever, and he has shifted his quest for those things that are eternal. And we got to the point, first of all, that where we recognize spiritual value. Do we really see the value, for example, in being a good example? Another one of our terms is the term good. Here's another word that's thrown around so uselessly and carelessly. Good is simply defined as being good in its character or constitution, being beneficial in its effect. When applied to us, it's vague, confusing, depending on, again, who we are, where we are, what our conditions are, what our situations are, what our desires are. But again, many times we apply things of the world, people of the world, to the goals and the accomplishments of the world, to those things that rust and decay, things that can be stolen, things that will eventually be burned up with this world. But if we consider it in a spiritual sense, the word good in you boil it all down, and the word good in the Bible, according to God, just simply means pleasing to God. If what we are doing or what we have become is not pleasing to God, then it's not good. It doesn't matter how rich we become, it doesn't matter how educated we become, it doesn't matter how beautiful or handsome we become in this life. It doesn't matter at all if we're not pleasing to God. Church is perfectly designed and is good in his sight. corrupted by adding all the things that the world has to what they call the church. The church is good the way it's designed. And those in the church, God calls them good. Barnabas, for example, was a good man. Others were good people. The will of God, Romans 12, verse 2, did not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God is perfect. And it's not only acceptable, but it is good. Our manner of life can be good in the sight of God. He can be well pleased. You know, the phrase, doing those things that are well pleasing in His sight. But we know that our good manner of life, as we read, can be corrected. Our works can be good. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. 2 Timothy 3:16, we read that all Scripture is good. It's given by the inspiration of God, that is good, is profitable, which is good. It's profitable for doctrine, which is good. For reproof, for correction, both of those are good. For instruction in righteousness, which is good. That the man of God may be complete, which is a complete good, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Scripture, Holy Scripture of God that we have given to us is good. It's good for the Christian. And it means that if you consider goodness, then the Christian is godly. He's faithful. He's obedient, acceptable, pleasing, righteous, all of these other terms. That's what being good is in the sight of God. Basically then, a good example is just a godly example. The phrase, he who is like God, is something that stuck with me since I was a child. Because my grandmother told me when I was very small, that's what the word Michael means. Who is like God, or like the new God. And it's something that I can't get away from. But we shouldn't be able to get away from that thought at all. We need to be like God. Are you a good person in God's eyes? If so, then you must be a good example. You have to be, because that's part of what being good is. Our last term, the word example, is defined as being a pattern or a model, something that we need to imitate. An underwriting, a tracing, a copy. You know, in school, early school, we learn how to trace. We learn how to put something over something and trace it out. And then we've also learned how to superimpose something over something else and then trace it from the top. And this is the way we are encouraged to be a tracing, a copy of the goodness that has been presented to us. For the Christian, a good example is one that is both intrinsically valuable and spiritually extrinsically valuable. It's become good because God has created its goodness, provided its goodness, enabled us to have His goodness, and then instructs us in His goodness, so that we can be complete in all goodness. And as we apply that to the example, we become the example of goodness for others to see. that are good examples. 1 Peter 2:21, leaving us an example, referring to Christ. He left us an example that you should follow in his steps. That's as plain as it will ever get. We should follow in his steps. And, of course, one person's mind may mean that I need to go to Jerusalem and get a big wooden cross and walk around the streets. Another person will see that it's the goodness of God shown forth through Jesus Christ, who was perfect, that we should follow and learn to be like God with our example being our Lord. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ. So he simply said, I have an example in Christ Jesus. I am following him. Now you can follow both of us. You can be examples as well. Young men and women are encouraged in 1 Timothy 4:12, which I know the young people and all of us probably are very familiar with the words of God. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. The elders are encouraged to be examples to the flock. Women in 1 Peter 3, Paul uses a number of words just by the use of these words, encourages being a good example. And thoughts says submissive, obedient, chaste conduct, fear, incorruptible beauty, gentle, quiet spirit, precious in the sight of God, a good example. All children, Galatians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right and good. You know, for children to be good children, they need to be godly in their lives. We get to fathers, and there's quite a bit said in the scriptures and examples we can go to about being a good example as a father. But nearly 60 years ago, I found a little poem in my voice when I cut it out. It is entitled, and it doesn't have an author that anyone, the author unknown. Entitled "Walk a Little Plainer, Daddy." It's a short poem. "Walk a little plainer, Daddy," said a little boy so frail. "I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that you once walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I'm tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you." This is the part that's really struck me. "Someday when I'm all grown up, you are like I want to be, then I will have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I would want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for me. This being a good example has a far-reaching effect. It will affect our grandchildren. It will affect our great-grandchildren, those that we may never meet. But they may be better Christians because of the way we behave ourselves and conduct ourselves in our lives. All of us, then, should be good examples. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works There is a tremendous value. It's not just being obedient to the commands of God. It's being a good example for others to follow. And we could go to several areas now to apply this, but just one area, for example, and you think of the others. We need to remember the needs of new Christians, young Christians, new Christians, older people who have become new, older church members who have decided that it's good to be godly in their lives. We need to have Christians who not only teach faithfulness, but are examples of what they teach. Not only teach the importance of Bible study and worship, but actually do so themselves. Not only teach that we should give as possible, and the other things that we do, but also do it themselves. Not only teach that we should love one another with a pure heart fervently, but actually do it. So that others can see us. Not only teach that harsh words, bitter remarks, criticisms are wrong, but actually refrain from them. We Christians who not only teach that murmuring, griping, complaining, finding fault are wrong, but have become an example of not doing such. You know, you hear that occasionally. Someone says, you know, you will never, ever hear that person say anything bad about anybody. You won't be like that. We should all be like that. Christians that not only teach that members should support the efforts of the congregation, but actually be available to be that part. Are you a good example in the eyes of God? Do you see the value in it? Then, of course, at the close of a lesson like this, we can just simply say, why not be a good example in obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ? Become part of this congregation if you have expressed your desire to do that. That you want to work and labor and worship with us on a regular basis. And then, of course, your good example, you need to give us home. Go out. Let your lights so shine that all, not just a few, but that all may see that you are a good example in what is good and right. Need to make any corrections in your life.
It won't be very long till Jesus shall descend.